Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always wonderful to be here with you. Oh, wow. It's another Black History Month. And of course, you know, we always observe Black history, African history every day. We've been extremely busy for the past few weeks, you know, getting ready, of course, for the Men and Women March reunion. And with that said, we've been doing a lot of traveling around, getting, you know, our committees coordinated or ready to be coordinated in order to bring about our Sweet 16 reunion. That'll be taking place, of course, in October. And on February the 28th, I will officially announce where our reunion event is going to be held. For some, I think they might have thought it was going to be Philadelphia, but we worked very hard to have it not in Philadelphia because of the lack of support and so forth that, of course, the city showed us. And, you know, unfortunately, some of the various other entities in the city. At any rate, before we begin tonight's program, we want to give thanks and praises to our Creator, as we normally do. And, of course, we are always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. If you hear kind of some background noise, I'm going to try to mute that out very shortly for you. I am in the lobby of a hotel, and as indicated, we've been traveling a lot to really get this work done that we need to get done, and the month of March is going to be even busier, which reminds me, if you are in the community, be it a church or a recreation center or somewhere else, and you would like to have a Million Woman March movement representative come to your city to talk about what's going to be coming up for the reunion, we are certainly you know, very welcome to come. We're very, well, we look forward to coming. And so with that said, if you want to invite a representative to your city, to your community, to your school, to your church, you can just send us an email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Let's see, tonight we have a very powerful program for you. We are going to talk very shortly with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., who, of course, is going to talk about some of the work that he's doing, particularly as it pertains to the situation with Lil Wayne. For those who are not familiar with what has happened, once again, we have a so-called artist who has taken the liberty to slander, to, you know, really put something in a song that is so inappropriate that it's not even funny. And so we're going to talk about that and what we need to do in the future in dealing with some of these people. A few years ago, of course, there was people like R. Kelly, and there's certainly been numerous others that have not only said things, but have done things, particularly as it pertains to women and girls of African descent. Well, now we have Lil Wayne saying some things in regard to a very, very significant person in our history, and we're talking about Emmett Till. Well, Chairman Fred is going to be coming on shortly, and joining him is going to be the niece of Emmett Till. Okay, so we're going to tell you more about that very shortly as well. In the meantime, we want to remind you that tomorrow, Brother Ramasus is, of course, going to be doing what he's been doing now for, I guess, maybe 2 years or so. And that is something called Only in America, where we talk about police and governmental terrorism. Yes, alive. And not just alive, but rapidly growing, obviously. And with that, something else seems to be growing, and that is murders by way of hanging. Now, tomorrow's program of Only in America. We're going to talk about some recent incidents that occurred in Dover, Delaware. We've had Dr. Issa on our radio program previously, and tomorrow he will be coming to Philadelphia to join us live, because we feel it's important that we, you know, kind of connect one-on-one. And Dr. Issa is now building a organization that is committed to now doing the work that he had already been doing, but now recognizes that, you know, we've got to step this thing up. And so we're going to talk about the organization that Dr. Issa is now developing. And, of course, tomorrow, Only in America, starting at 4 o'clock, we will be at 3117 Master Street here in Philadelphia, and we'll be going on probably till around 8 o'clock. Now, Dr. Easton will be joining us in a few moments live on our line just to kind of give you a recap or some insight, shall I say, into what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, what we're going to be discussing tomorrow. And remember, we don't just have conversations for the sake of conversations. We have dialogues and discussion in order to map out strategies and ongoing action plans. And so tomorrow we're going to do that. But, again, we're going to bring Dr. Issa in a few moments, and we're going to have him just kind of give a little overview of what we're going to be talking about tomorrow and, of course, in the very near future. Okay, so before we do that, we also want to remind you that tomorrow calling in to Only in America is going to be a sister whose son was hung in Georgia in 2004. For those of you who listen to Harambe Radio, I'm sure you've heard her call in before. Sister Plessy is her name, and her son's name is Bernard Burden. She will be calling in tomorrow at Only in America approximately around, I believe, 5:30. And prior to her calling in, another sister will be calling in to talk about the horrendous situation that occurred with her, with being arrested in New Jersey and then raped by the police there. We're going to also give you an update on what's going on with the Tawana Brawley case. And, of course, that happened sometime back, I think, in 1987. I think it went into court into 88. But here we go again. Now, this time, one of the perpetrators has decided to sue Tawana Brawley, and she is now being faced with having her wages garnished. So we're going to give you a little update on that, and hopefully next week we'll be able to get Brother Alton Maddox on, because he is, again, going to be handling that case. In the meantime, what we're going to do is go to our live line, and we're going to have Dr. Issa come in now and just give us a little bit of insight into what we're going to be doing tomorrow for Only in America, and not only for tomorrow, but also in the very near future. We're going to take some steps to really make certain that we are a little more prepared and organized for what we know is the inevitable. And what we mean by the inevitable is, even if we are not talking about hangings, we know that the police are killing our people. And the reality is we keep responding, we keep reacting. But how organized are we going to be to combat these situations? Again, we apologize for our background. We're kind of in transit at the moment, but we're going to mute some of that out very shortly when we bring Dr. Issa on. And we're going to do that right about now. And again, tomorrow, Only in America here in Philadelphia, you'll be able to hear it also. I'm going to give you the call-in number where you can call in and hear all of what we're doing tomorrow. There's a conference call number where all of the information will be able to be disseminated through the conference call number, and you will be able to communicate directly with us. But in the meantime, we're going to go to our live line, and joining us now, of course, is Brother Jahi Issa, Dr. Jahi Issa, of course, who is the brother who launched an important investigative kind of report and held rallies and communicated with the students in regard to the not only racist but the blatant disrespect and now even murder of two black men in the Dover, Delaware area. And remember, Dr. Isler, give us the clarity. I know there's two that we've been talking about. I think one was in California. But again, you know, regardless of how many it is, what we know is that it's happening. Surely
yes,
there are
reading.
Reports that we do not know or haven't seen. And so, again, what we're going to do is go to our live line, and we're going to bring in Dr. Issa. Dr. Issa, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, my brother. Well, thank you for taking the time to call in tonight. And, of course, you're going to be joining us tomorrow for Only in America.
Yes, I'll come in, and I'll be speaking at 6 o'clock with you and your audience in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And I'll talk about my current legal situation, where I'm now facing 2 years in prison for allegedly touching an officer and resisting arrest, although we'll talk about it in detail. Also, a lot of this has to do with my activism regarding the U.S. government and their assault against historically black colleges, where they are ethnically cleansing African-American professors and students from these universities. And also what led to my investigation of lynchings that are going on in Delaware. Delaware happens to be the state of the home of the Vice President of the United States, Mr. Joe Biden. His son is the Attorney General, and his son has refused to investigate these lynchings. And his son is also prosecuting me. I guess they're taking a great pleasure in doing it. And so we'll talk about these issues and even more things that we need to do as a group of people here if we're going to survive this 21st century. In New York, they started in 2010 a Freedom Party. And so what we want to talk about is a national Freedom Party all over the country. And we'll deal with these issues tomorrow.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Now, speaking of the Freedom Party, that, of course, is something that Attorney Arthur Maddox was very much involved in. Is that correct?
Right. Yes, out of New York, they are the first to initiate it. They have more than 50,000 registered voters. And for this upcoming election, this upcoming mayoral race, they're going to be in the driver's seat in deciding who's going to be the next mayor and other elected officials in the state. But what we're trying to do is further what they've done and make this a national party for our people here that is not only involved in the electoral politics of the United States, but economics, education. And we want this party to have a pan-Africanist agenda. And so, of course, we can talk about this tomorrow. I'll lay out the plan or the blueprint and the strategy and what we can do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, and again, family, we remind you that that's tomorrow here in Philadelphia. If you're in the Philadelphia tri-state area, please come by. Admission is free. Of course, goodwill donations are appreciated. And we will begin around 4 o'clock. We're going to start with a couple of our sisters giving testimony about some of the situations that have occurred with them, and then Dr. Issa will be coming on around 6 o'clock. And again, you'll be able to hear, if you can't join us tomorrow, you'll be able to hear some of what's going on by calling into a conference call number that I'm going to be giving out a little later on. Before we let Dr. Issa go, we want to also ask him about, now, Brother, you mentioned, we talked a little earlier in the week, and I think it's important that people know and understand that we are going to put together a defense committee for you, you know, given the fact that you do at some point have to go to court to face these bogus charges against you of resisting arrest and disorderly conduct as a result of a rally that was held on campus. And so, you know, we think it's important that our people know that we need their support, because you can't be walking up in that court, you know, in a way that doesn't let them know that people are, in fact, watching. So we want folks to know that a defense committee is going to be started for Dr. Issa. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. But also, Dr. Issa, you have an organization that you are also putting together. You want to tell us a little about that?
Yeah, real briefly, we started the a Freedom Party here in Delaware. It's at its infancy stage right now. We have recently developed a platform, and it's similar to what I just talked about. This Freedom Party is called the Harriet Tubman Freedom Party of Delaware. And so we just elected our president and vice president and a few other statewide officials, and we'll be moving forth with this in time.
Wonderful. So please give out any contact information where people can continue to, you know, be in touch with you, and if they have any questions or, you know, just want to communicate, please give out your email address or any other kind of contact information that you may want them to have.
Yeah, my email address is jahiissa65@gmail.com. That's jahiissa65@gmail.com.
Okay, and also there is a web page or a blog page, you want to direct them to that, because I think there's some really important and clear information there that, you know, people might want to see.
Well, the website for the Freedom Party is not up yet. We're working on it now.
Right. Now, I'm talking about the other website that I initially was able to go to see your article. Is that still up?
Okay, yeah, you're talking about how black colleges are turning white. You can just Google how black colleges are turning white, the ethnic cleansing of HBCUs.com, or you can go to my website, which is the HBCUinstitute.org, and you'll find more information regarding my writings. That is the HBCUinstitute.org. HBCUinstitute.org.
Okay. And what about, there was another site, I think it might have been something like Strange Fruit in Dover or something like that? Dr. Issa? Okay, I think we might have lost him. All right, look, what we're going to do now is go to, we have a caller at 7347, and we want to remind you again, we're talking about Only in America for Tomorrow. It actually starts earlier than the 4 o'clock session, and we're going to give you a little bit more information about that as well. But in the meantime, let's see if we have a comment from caller at 7347. I'm
going to
open
it
up right now.
Call it. All right. Greetings. Welcome.
All right.
To
we got Brother Ramesses. All right.
Absolutely. Let me see if I can make a bit of a difference, but I don't think so. This is going to be worse. Okay, because what I have is, you know, I'm doing my radio program right now.
Okay.
And
not a problem.
To close that out causes the echo in the phone. Mm-hmm. So let me get down to the brass tacks just quick because I know time flies. All
right.
We have Only in America happening at the Songhai Cultural Center tomorrow, 3117 Master Street. Okay, and that's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19121, for those of you who need to Google search it. All right, Only in America starts at 2 p.m. It starts at 2 p.m. and will go till 9 p.m. And we have Tai Uhemba and the playing the drum for libations. We have the ISIS Indigenous Group there. Brother Ali Muhammad and Chief Minister Bilal will speak at 2 o'clock. We have Bomani Crumpton, who wrote the book Education Can Stop Black-on-Black Crime. He will be speaking at 3 o'clock. And by that time, you should be in between 4 and 4:30 to start your session, and you can give us more on that. And then we have others who will be coming through. A lot of people are still checking into the program, so we hope to have enough and time, space for all of those who want to participate in the program. Food will be provided by Itiola, so you know you'll be able to eat well as well as feed your mind.
All right. Now, Brother Ramasu, for people who cannot make it actually physically be there, will they be able to still hear the information by calling into a conference call number?
Yeah, the conference call number again is 218-632-0460. And the PIN is 726-476-87#. And that will go on from 2 to 7 p.m. At 7 p.m., you'll be able to listen to the program via the Legacy of a Nation program, the Blog Talk Radio program. The number will be 661-554-9123. Again, that number is 661-554-9123.
Okay, so in other words, folks will be able to hear the program a couple of ways. They'll be able to. Now, will it also be aired through the internet?
When it's on the Blog Talk program, the answer is absolutely yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for those who want to listen to the Blog Talk show, download it from the conference call line. Email me at legacyofanation@yahoo.com, and I believe I can figure out a way to send it to you.
All right. Now, before we let you go, Brother Ramasuz, I just want people to know, how long has this particular project been in motion, meaning the Only in America? How long have you been doing it, and why did you start doing it?
Well, I don't keep track of time, but I do believe that I've been doing it for 3 years. Okay. The reason for it is, I look around and see our young people being killed, being assassinated. I mean, I'm not going to mince the terms, but the reason that these so-called officers, the race soldiers, can get away with it is because we don't know how to respond to the situation. We react in a socialized way that has been falsely placed into our head by our peers who say, oh, you got rights. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to do that. Well, listen, you can be right all the way to the graveyard, and that's what's happening. You have to know how to survive the stop. It makes you no less a man or woman to cooperate with the officer who is in charge at that time with baton, taser, and gun. Again, with baton, taser, and gun, and willing to gang beat you if you move in any aggressive way. And so you don't even have to move in an aggressive way. All you have to do is flinch the wrong way. I thought he had a weapon. You see? And see, we have to comprehend what's taking place, what's going on. You have to understand the psychological behavior behind these officers. And that's loosely put. But we have to call them what indeed America calls them until we, the people, take our rightful place.
So one of the other things that Owning America focuses on, of course, is that of political prisoners.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
So
we really focus on preventive behavior, you know, how to not become a political prisoner. But once you are behind the walls, we have to look at how we can seek justice for our brothers and sisters who are behind. Okay? And I'm getting ready to start a song piece with the Move 9 program, and that will begin next Thursday. And I'm seeking on how to get information on how to broadcast our good brother Amil Abu Jamal's portions, his segments of programming that he puts out. Okay, looking for a way to get that live 15-minute conversation with him as well. Seeking to put Dave Richardson's speech on our program for each of the Thursdays that the Move 9 are broadcasting. We're looking at the bombing of the Move situation. We're looking at the whole Osage Avenue, you know, event that took place. It's downplayed when we use the words in the English language. You know, you want to call it an event, but that was a massacre that was taking place. You know? And that's status quo of what goes on in America to the African here in America. Now we start getting into historical documentation, but you can look at what happened at Fort Pillow, Fort Negro. You can look at Fort Chicago. I mean, just look completely around the country. Look at what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Look at what happened in Rosewood. No matter where you look in this country, you will find attacks on the Africans here in America. So we have to know how to protect ourselves, and we have to know how to conduct ourselves when confronted.
Brother Ramesses, I want to thank you for taking the time out from your radio program. And, of course, those who are listening, you might hear something in the background, and that is Brother Ramesses' show in the background. But we're going to break away from him now so that we can move on with our program. And, Brother Ramesses, I want to thank you again. We're going to get ready to talk with Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr., and joining us is another special guest tonight. We're going to be joined by Brother Emmett Till's niece will be joining us, Sister Morgan Taylor, Erica Morgan Taylor. So this should be a very dynamite dialogue tonight because, again, we're going to focus on how we can possibly allow artists to do what they're doing in gracing our women and girls and defaming, attempting to defame our historical heroes. So, Brother Ramesses, I want to thank you again, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you, and we may be listening in.
Oh, wonderful.
All right.
All right, my brother.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank
you. Okay, moving right along, family. We are going to go into our next segment. And as we said earlier, you know, it is an ongoing struggle that we are confronted with so-called artists. I mean, you know, and it's not to take anything away from anyone in terms of their talent to sing or write or do whatever, but at the same time, certainly that does not give anyone the right or the I don't even know what to call it. Anytime someone would even think of writing something or saying something that is going to bring about such a disrespect to our women, our girls. So of course, you know, we have so-called rappers today who, I mean, they just go to a point now in saying things in their lyrics that is just absolutely not only unnecessary, but really it cannot be tolerated any longer. And now we have another situation. We have a situation where we have someone by the name of Lil Wayne literally putting something in his lyrics that is not only disrespectful, but really goes against the grain of any black person that understands what has happened in this country, of course, years ago and today. But certainly things that were so heinous, that were just so insane, and yet we have people acting like today that it really is almost nothing. And so what we're going to do, in a few minutes we're going to open up the chat room because we would like for you to place your comments there as well. But certainly we want to talk about, you know, why? How can this be happening? And perhaps even more importantly, what are we going to do about it? So let's see. Hopefully we have Chairman Fred coming in. Ooh, I'm hoping this is him coming in on this line. We're going to check in and see. Caller at 9451.
Right on, this is Chairman Fred.
Okay, wonderful. All right, I was hoping it was you, brother. Good thanks. Welcome back to our segment of New Day. Yes.
Right on. First, you know, I know we are waiting Sister Erica, Gordon Taylor, the niece of Emmett Till, to call in also, and I just want to say right on that we this is not our first time addressing the subject matter, and we can't speak about it enough. We can't put into practice enough about, you know, holding cats accountable, holding people accountable, and that, you know, in regards to just, you know, respecting our people, respecting our icons, respecting our,
that's right,
our movements, again, just our people in general.
Absolutely. For those who might not, and I'm hoping no one that's listening now haven't heard about it, but just in case, for those who maybe did not hear about what we're talking about, just kind of give them a little bit of insight. What is this thing that has happened with this Lil Wayne person?
Well, just to preface with this, I'll afford Erica, you know, get some background on history of who Emmett Till is. Just, I'm sure our listeners are clear on that graphic image of Emmett Till, you know what I'm saying, which was a depiction of, you know what I'm saying, the race, quote unquote, relations of, you know what I'm saying, of America at the time. It really sparked the consciousness, you know what I'm saying, of what not only what happened in, you know what I'm saying, southern Illinois, but throughout this country, you know what I'm saying, how black life was not valued. And so I will let her talk about the details of who Emmett Till is again, just because there are no foregone conclusions. I think it's important that we continue to stress just in the history, because there's been so many times with our history there's been an attempt to obliterate it or malign it. And in fact, she had pointed out the other day that there was they took a poll on Yahoo, and she said there was a lot of people said they wasn't familiar with the case of Emmett Till, and I think it's a strategic tactic that this government, to obliterate, then malign, in other words, to straight out wipe out, to send out a mandate, directly or indirectly, not to talk about through the colonial schools, through the media, what happened with the, you know, in the case of Emmett Till, or didn't really talk about it, talk about it in an abstract type of way, and similar to like a war type to create, America's policy is to create chaos and then restore order. The fast forward today with this present case, this present contradiction, this criminal, and who can be referred to as nothing less, Wayne Carter, who's, you know, known to a lot of venues as Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And was supposed to be right outside New Orleans, Louisiana, supposed to came up and was tied to this other criminal, Baby. And, you know, and it's an image they, you know, made it because they, you know, they're talented, they work hard, so on and so forth. And even during the time, contradictions been exposed about
the horrid conditions in New Orleans in response to Hurricane America, what a lot of people call Hurricane Katrina. This criminal, Lil Wayne, and other, we refer to as Lil Slave, and other individuals were just here pitching Rolls Royce and Bentley cars with mink carpet on the floors. And these individuals have been allotted and provided, you know, said, a resource at the expense of degraded African people, African, you know, women. And this is not his first, this is not his, or other criminals who, such as, you know, Sean Connors, also the James Slade Z and other forces. These individuals have a long record of, you know, disrespecting black folks. Lil Slave, Lil Wayne has really put out his position how he feels about black women. He made one of a record some time back about he took the correlated the situation of the LAPD beating Rodney King to a sex act with a police officer, and it became like a number one hit. The people were actually singing a song about how, you know, getting beat like Rodney King. His latest crime has been that of a collaboration with an artist named Future. And I'm hesitant to even refer to these cats as artists, because what they're doing, they grab these individuals, they grab the most talentless individuals out of our community. They bombard us, you know, saying, back to back over the radio airwaves, since they do our community to the leadership. They grab the most inept, weak forces, and they talk about those leadership. And then he done this song, and I'm not giving him a promotion for this song, but I think people should be aware of it, on a mixtape called Karate Chop. And calling a sex act of, you know, beating up the private parts of a woman, calling it the same act, saying that he would beat that like he was like Emmett Till got beaten. And there's been an uproar about it, and I think, you know, saying, I know that we got to see the time, you know, so we're tying this into the long history of the continuous attacks, the continuous propaganda bombs. Again, it cannot be referred to nothing less than propaganda bombs. That has been directed from the Viacom, the Vivendi's, the Clive Davis, the Jimmy Iovines, David Stearns, the rest of these criminals. You know, they send a message down to these studios that this is what these individuals can do. And not only with these clowns, even with these so-called conscious artists, where, you know, Wu Tang and the rest of the sort, they feel comfortable. They have a reverence or respect for the Asian culture or other people. When it comes to black people, we are continuously in every venue, every aspect, treated as the Rodney Dangerfields of all races. In other words, no respect. So we have to continue to expose these contradictions, expose these tactics, and not come with the liberalism, or maybe they don't know. And if they don't know, obviously they're going to learn today.
Chairman Fred, you there?
Are we able to hear you?
Okay.
Yes.
All right, I thought we were losing you for a moment there. Okay, I'm not sure, Sister Erica, her area code, is it the same as yours?
708.
Okay, 7, got it. All right. We're going to bring her in a few moments. I think I see it here on the boards. Before we do, we want to remind everyone that the chat room is now open, and you certainly can post your comments if you'd like. We're going to open up the phone lines for you also a little later on, but right now you can do your posting in the chat room. We're talking to Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., of course, Chairman of POCC, and we're talking about really, you know, and I'm glad Chairman Fred pointed that out, you know, people are hiding behind these labels or these titles, and, you know, we're calling people artists because we know that kind of characteristic tends to give someone a little bit of leverage, you know, when it comes to being able to say certain things or act a certain kind of way. And I think it's important that we begin to really make it clear that, you know, regardless of what people call themselves, before they was called that, they was black, period. And we have to deal with them based on that. So we're going to talk tonight about what has happened, and it's not the first time, needless to say. A few years ago, I don't know if anyone can recall, there was a movie, I believe it was Barbershop, and in the movie, they had this dialogue about Mother Rosa Parks. Do you remember that, Chairman Fred?
I do recall.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and even though we know it was humor and, you know, it was not to supposedly meant to be disrespectful, I mean, it was. It was just straight up disrespectful. I mean, why would you put that in a movie like that? What was the significance? What was the importance? Go ahead, Chairman Fred.
Line with us?
Yes, good evening, sister. And
it's
Erica
greetings
Gordon.
To you.
It's
Gordon Taylor, G-O-R-D-O-N.
Gordon. Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman.
Good evening, my sister. Good to hear your voice.
I'm glad to be among this conversation this evening.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming on, and certainly, you know, we extend our warmest greetings to you. You know, what we're going to do, I think Chairman Freya kind of indicated earlier, would be really the most appropriate thing for you to tell our listening audience about Emmett Till. I mean, we would think that most would know, but unfortunately, in this day and age, there is a generation that do not know. And so it's our responsibility to, of course, help them to become more familiar, because what we've heard in this song, or I won't say song, what we've heard in this garbage is unacceptable, and we now have to deal with it. So please provide us with the information that we definitely need to have, especially today. And feel free to take your time to do so. We have at least an hour that we can continue to dialogue.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, you'd be surprised just looking over and reading some of the comments on the various hip-hop and rap websites since the incident has occurred with Lil Wayne. I cringe at some of the things that our youth are writing, and not all of them are youth. Very ignorant statements. They're like, well, he should have been raised properly by his mom, and then he would have known how to behave. You know, coming from the North and going to the South, he was from Chicago, Illinois, and he begged his mother to travel to Mississippi with his cousin and with his grandfather. And they had traveled down to Money, Mississippi. He was visiting with cousins. You know how most of us do, go down south in the summer and go see our family from up north. And while he was there, he really was not alert to the difference in the Jim Crow rules. His mother did try to prepare him for the journey. You know, she told him, she said, Emmett, now when you get to Mississippi and you see a white man walking along the sidewalk, you step off of the sidewalk and you let him pass you by. You say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, she tried to instill in him that what he was about to experience was culture shock. It was nothing like what he was used to living up north in Chicago and then traveling down there with a Jim Crow rule. And so being a rambunctious, playful 14-year-old child, and Emmett was known for being very playful. His mother wrote about it in her memoir, her book, The Death of Innocence, and it talks about her life and what she experienced with Emmett from birth to his death. And she tells stories in it about how he would always pull pranks on her. One time he had a wad of paper, newspapers, and he took maybe $2 bills and wrapped it around it and said, Mom, look what I found, you know, like he had found a wad of money. You know,
right.
So he was always joking, and that was just his typical personality.
Mm-hmm.
So while he was down in Mississippi, he and his cousins, they had taken the car, and they had went into town to the store, Brian's grocery store, and they dared him. Someone dared him. It was a dare to whistle at Carolyn Bright, who at the time was a 21-year-old white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so as he was leaving the store, he did a wolf whistle. Now, many say that he also said, bye, baby. No, that is incorrect. He didn't say anything to this woman. All he did was whistle. And so and they took off, and they ran, and they got in the car. And it takes my cousin Simeon Wright to really tell the full story. And he has a book out also called Simeon's Story, that details everything that happened with the event and how his life and his family structure had fallen apart after all of that occurred. But they were scared for days, and they thought they were safe because nothing had happened. No one had told, you know, Papa Moles, who was Emmett's uncle and Simeon Wright's dad. he was a preacher, and they had actually snuck off to the grocery store to get some candy and stuff during Sunday worship service. You know, they had got in the car and let's run to the store, you know. And so in the middle of the night, a couple of days later, a knock came on the door, and it was Carolyn Bryant's husband and her brother, his brother-in-law. And they came looking for that nigga boy that stutters funny in the middle of the night with shotguns and with flashlights. And they went inside the home, and they told Papa Mose that if he didn't turn over Emmett, they would kill all of the children and everyone in the home. And at that time, there were numerous children in the house. And so they went room to room, looking in the beds, you know, with the kids. They were triple in bed or so. You know, there were multiple children laying in one bed. And so they were looking for Emmett, and they made him get up and put on his clothes, and they took him at gunpoint from the home, and he was never seen again alive. And so as story has it, as history tells, and as we see in the images that were published of him, he was brutally beaten and tortured for hours. Mm-hmm. And I recently traveled to Mississippi to take some of the children that I mentor on what we call the Trail of Tears tour. And we took them along the highway, and we traveled every place Emmett's body had gone and where they had taken him throughout the hours and days of torture. They had him in the back of the car. They had him beaten, and he was worn out, and he begged for his life. And they were driving around showing other, you know, some of their friends, yeah, look at this nigga boy we beat up. You know, this is that nigga that stuttered, you know, that whistled at Carolyn. And they tortured Emmett. And then they finally shot him in the head. Now, you know, they were trying to figure out if the gunshot to the head is what killed him or not, if he was still alive after all of the beating. You know, they were saying that the gunshot wasn't even warranted after all of the suffering that he had endured, you know, for those days and for those hours. They tied a barbed wire around him and attached a tin fan to him, and they tossed his body in the Tallahatchie River. Now, his body was not supposed to be found, and two young white boys were fishing, and they saw his foot. He had got kind of snagged on a tree branch or something, and he was on his way into the Black Bayou River where it connected. So if he had gotten into the Black Bayou, he never would have been found. And they pulled him out, and he had been in the water for days. And so over this time span, they tried to hide Emmett. They buried Emmett before they even, you know, they had to sneak Emmett's body to Chicago. They had to go unbury the box that they had put him in. They had poured lime all over his body. They wanted his body to deteriorate. And so by the time the box with Emmett had gotten to Chicago on the train platform, when Mamie went to go, you know, and meet the train, before you even got to the platform, she said that the stench of the smell from the box was so horrendous. You could smell him blocks away, you know, before you even got up to the tray and on the platform to where the box and Emmett's body was. It had a seal from Mississippi on it, and it was chained up. And the mortician told her that it was illegal, and he couldn't open that box because it had the Mississippi seal on it. Mamie said, well, give me a hammer. And she opened that box. He said, I need to see what's in this box. I don't know what they sent me. I need to see if this is my child. Mm-hmm. And so she opened the box, and lo and behold, there was, you know, there was this monster. She even called it herself. It looked like a monster in the box. Mm-hmm. But she scrutinized every inch of that body from head to toe. She said you could see the sunlight gazing through his head. It was a hole through his head where his brain used to be. He had one little dangling tooth. They had beaten all of his pretty teeth out of his mouth. You know, they had gouged out his eyes. Some say that they thought that he was castrated, Mamie. She said he was not castrated. But she said through it all, she could see glimmers of her child, and she could see that it was Emmett. And then he was wearing his father's ring, who had passed strangely in the military years before that. So Mr. Rayner worked on Emmett's body. So the images that we see in the photographs, those are images of after Emmett's body was worked on. And the morticians, they had to wrap his body like a mummy, and they poured the, I always forget what it's called, it's not formaldehyde, what they do to embalm the body. they poured it on top of his body. I can't, Jeremy, you know what I'm talking about?
Vomit. I can't think of the correct name myself.
I can't think of a technical term for it, but they poured it over. Usually they put it in the body. But his body was so large and so swollen, they wrapped him up in bandages and they poured it all over his body and let his body soak so that some of the swelling would go down. And so when Mr. Rainer here in Chicago, he's deceased now, but A.A. Rainer is still in existence, when he finished working on Emmett's body, Mamie was so happy. The pictures that we see that are gruesome, she was so pleased with what he looked like in those pictures because he looked far worse. And so, you know, for Little Wayne to have the audacity to compare the atrocity of Emmett Till to the anatomy of a woman, to a vagina, it's insane. His metaphoric indiscretion was not only offensive to my family, but to our ancestors and to Little Wayne and future as black men. You can't compare the gateway of life to the brutality and punishment of death. They demonstrate that they don't have any pride or dignity as black men to me. You know, they're diminishing, society diminishes black men and black people every day. They're criminalized by society at every opportunity, you know, that exists. So for them to do that, they disgrace themselves far more than anything, you know. And so our family, primarily, we wanted the lyrics removed. We wanted an apology. You know, that's the least of what we could have, you know, the least of it. Excuse me. That's the least of what we desire. You know, I'm very pleased with the fact that L.A. Reid reached out and he immediately removed the lyrics from the song, you know, but it's out there now. You know, come on now. And we know the real deal. In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, it's Black History Month. He knows he used Emmett Till's name. Let's leak this song out so they can hear it, you know. And throughout all of the protests about it, the song, you know, I'm well aware of the promotion that the song is receiving and that Lil Wayne is getting from all of this, you know. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit back and be quiet and allow someone such as Lil Wayne to dishonor and disrespect the name of Emmett Till, his legacy, what his death meant to us as a black community, and to my family. You know, his name has resonated over 57 years in efforts to educate and attribute to his life, you know, to demonstrate the existence of modern hate crimes to those from back in the 50s. You know, because we're living in a new Jim Crow system. We're living under the sun of Jim Crow. So there are many songs that have honored Emmett's memory, you know, and his legacy. Mm-hmm. And he was only 14. And so just the idea of them comparing him to, you know, the woman's anatomy and how and why he was murdered, it just shows lack of education to me. I'm thinking, are you educated? Do you realize what you're saying and how inhumane that statement is? You know, it's misogynistic and promotes domestic abuse in women. You know, especially as a black woman and a family member, I felt doubly insulted. You know, so, but that's primarily in a nutshell to sum up the story of Emmett Till and what happened. Mm-hmm. But I implore you to really read Simeon's story. It details everything. It's an excellent source to get all of the information about what happened with Emmett Till and the incident and how things progressed and how his life ended and how it had an effect and impacted Simeon Wright and Mose Wright's family, you know. So, but that's kind of what happened.
Thank you so much for, you know, sharing and providing that insight, because, again, I'm sure that there are listeners who, you know, did not know or maybe knew some of it, but certainly maybe knew not as much as you were able to convey tonight. And also let me take this time to extend an invitation to you. I got the opportunity to speak with Sister Mamie in 1997. She wanted to come to the Million Woman March, but at that time she was ill and could not come, and I got the opportunity to speak to her a few days later. And, you know, she was very happy and, you know, wished us so much continued success and so forth and so on. So I'd like to take this opportunity to extend an invitation to you to join us in October when we hold our 16-year anniversary, and at that time also launch our movement, our international movement, which includes a project that we call the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Women and Girls of African Descent. It has taken us 16 years to put something in place that we know is going to make a difference. In these past 10 years, we have seen such an increase in murder, rape, now trafficking throughout the U.S. to the extent that you almost can't believe it. But just here in Philadelphia a few weeks ago, a 5-year-old little girl was abducted, kidnapped from a public school, walked right out, raped, sodomized, and then I got another report a few days ago with a 3-year-old. And the other sad part about this is we've been talking about this now for several years and have been pleading with our brothers to help us, stand with us as we fight these so-called artists, as we begin to bring greater attention, as we provide information for prevention and training. And sadly, we have not been able to get our brothers, our men, to stand up. So hopefully, now that we're prepared to launch a national campaign and go to the Justice Department to demand that action is taken on a national level, because we're looking at a rise that is looking almost like an epidemic of black women, African women, women of African descent, and girls being violated. And unfortunately, it is to some degree being exasperated by people like Lil Wayne and others who have no regard for who we are as women, and less regard, obviously, for who we are as a people.
Well, you know, Harriet Tubman said that she would have freed more slaves if they knew they were slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Wayne doesn't know he's a slave to the industry. And the industry's focus is primarily and foremost commerce. It's not about the culture or maintaining the integrity of the art. You know, and I failed to mention and really introduce who I am and how I'm related to Emmett. Emmett Till is my cousin. And the iconic photos of his last Christmas prior to his death that are published, there's one that you may stumble across. It's him and some other children in the photograph. And the other children are my uncles, and there's one little girl sitting in a chair. That's my mother. I actually have the original photograph. They've cut out. My grandparents are standing in it as well. But my grandfather and Emmett's grandmother were first cousins. And I also was reared in the home with Mamie and with his grandmother, Alma, and his stepdad, Jeannie Mobley Jr. And Mamie referred to me as the grandchild she never had. So I was the one who, when Emmett wasn't there, here I am. I'm hiding under his grandmother's apron. She protected me from Mamie because Mamie had a yardstick longer than my height, you know, and she would try to get me as a little girl. So I'm getting whoopings that Emmett should have gotten. I'm still getting Emmett's whoopings, and I'm getting his lectures, and I'm being educated the way she educated him. And she was so proud of me and to be a part of my life, you know, and growing up. She would just look at me sometimes, and I would just see in her eyes how she missed her son and wondered what life would have been like if she had been, what her real grandchildren, her biological grandchildren would have been like, you know. So, she was stripped of all of that. She lost all of that opportunity. But I also am the founding director of the Mamie Till Mobley Memorial Foundation, and where our logo is Remembering the Past While Educating Our Future. And my foundation offers interactive approaches to combat what we call the War Within. We started the War Within initiative last August on the anniversary of Emmett's death. And we do this by infusing history and cultural heritage, education, music, and the arts. And right now, what Lil Wayne doesn't realize is that we already had the wheels turning. We already had irons in the coals. And so he's just helped develop a bigger platform for me to really get out here and share what we were already working on a national level. So by insulting my family, he really did me a favor, the truth be told. And I know in my heart I feel like he thought he was going to promote himself and get a lot more publicity for himself. Yes, he's getting publicity, but he's getting backlash. You know, it's not a pretty sight. When you have veterans in the industry such as Stevie Wonder and L.A. Reid and, and different ones who are speaking out against this, it says a lot. You know, and these are the veterans, these are the mentees. You know, and more of them need to take responsibility for, you know, monitoring and educating and taking a stand and saying, hey, no, you don't need to use that lyric. Do you really know who that is? Do you know your history? Well, let me break it down for you, brother, so you'll understand why this has been appropriate. You know, so I just wanted to share with you who I am and what we're doing. I'm not just a voice for my family, but I also work with victims. Families who have been victimized by police violence and their loved one was murdered. Or, you know, I'm also an advocate out here working against the gun violence against our children. Chairman Fred was a part of our War Within kickoff in August, and it was a march and rally that we held against gun violence and the murder of our children here in Chicago. So we're already in the you know, working in the struggle together, you know, as a unit. So I don't want people to think that I'm just a voice that all of a sudden emerged because, you know, my feelings got hurt. No, I've been a part of the struggle and movement, you know, and I've been prepped for it all my life, you know. And my voice echoes the voice of Mamie Till Mobley, and I want her voice to echo through our children.
Right on.
Right.
Right on. If I could, I want to, you know, again, commend Sadarica, you know, even laying out that history, because as I just said, you know, we just stated again and again that there's a continuous attempt to, you know, saying either straight out wipe out our history or malign it, or water it down in some sort of way. But I just want to, with all due respect, to, I want to again re-stress something she said. This is not, you know, as opposed to us saying that, you know, what are we going to do? I think we should really stress, you know, what are we going to continue to do? Because ideally, we must put this in correct context. That this is. Slavery, not all these other criminals. These are career criminals. You know, this is not their first offense. And like I said, we can go back. This criminal, Sean Puffy Combs, he had a song one time when he referenced. He says, I'm at Harriet Tubman School, elementary school, and asked some children who sound to be about 7 or 8 years old, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they said, we want to be pimps, Mac Daddy, so on and so forth. And these are the sacrilegious, you know, the disrespect to our people, Mr. Their strategic crimes that these criminals, you know, say have been not only given okay, but again rewarded to commit. And this is not our first time; this is not our last time calling these chumps to task. We didn't face a lot of repercussions. In fact, we had literally a coalition with the POCC, the Panther Cubs, and pushing the code of culture. Well, we literally walked up in clear child offices, you know what I'm saying, Chicago. They tried to give us some sort of concession to make some deals with us, saying, well, we give us a privilege. We'll let y'all play when y'all want to play. We said, no, that's not what we're here for. And then when we refused those sellout concessions, they implemented their big stick. They hit us with, through the Negroes, WVON, the Negro radio station Chicago. Put a place to ban on me. I'm officially banned from that radio station. So, I mean, historically, there has been resistance. I want to point that out. This is not the first time there's been a lot of resistance. Sony Records. Artists have told me that Sony Records has a little layout telling how to deal with me or my organization when we come on the stage. And a lot of artists, you'll be surprised, so-called conscious artists, they refuse to touch down on me, refuse to be in contact with me now. We go back and look at when Dr. Khalid Muhammad talked about how Ice Cube suddenly stopped returning his phone calls. This is not by happenstance. And we got to lay out, you know, these, they know what they want to know. And we want to take a position similar to that the state takes. We want those who do the right things, repercussions for those who don't. And I had a lot of struggle with some of these so-called conscious forces. This, again, I'll repeat that. These so-called conscious people. Miss Criminal Williams, I don't believe his real name, he refers himself as Rick Ross, who literally took the name. Literally, the courts gave him the right to take someone's name, a living individual, freely Ricky Ross. This artist, Rick Ross, who's a correctional officer, but portrays himself as a Miami drug dealer who has children chasing his American dream, who are now in penitentiaries and graveyards for something he has never did. Similar to a lot of these artists, even those who are self-conscious, they've never done none of this stuff. Like Keith in Chicago, they call Chief Keith. They're literally frauds. And Rick Ross, had took a song and had took some edited some speeches of being the chairman of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale. Well, when he's calling the question, you would be surprised the so-called conscious people that came in the old channel, maybe we all know, so on and so forth. I said, man, now we must hold these Trumps accountable. I cannot stress it enough. And then, just to put it in context, when he referenced one of the street organizations in Chicago, the GDs, when they held that Trump accountable, when they held that criminal accountable, they said it was not allowed for what they believe in to be disrespected. That criminal counsel conference, that criminal changed his records, he changed his tone. A criminal psychologist says behavior is affected by consequences. Behavior is affected by consequences. It's not a coincidence that these artists, whether it be Drake, Fake, Nicki Minaj, anybody else, feel comfortable to disrespect black folks. They don't know the history of the Jewish community, but they dare not disrespect them. Every other nationality feels comfortable. In fact, man, it's an incentive to disrespect our people. That street organization, they held that Trump accountable. But these so-called conscious folks were telling me, oh, Trump, you shouldn't do this. This whole liberalism. Once the Senate came to Chicago, Columbia College, we came on that stage. We walked up on that stage and said, man, in this city, with Bill Hamilton's gun down with Chicago police, this is what we talked about. He changed his entire speech. He changed his entire speech. We must hold people accountable within our community. Again, I cannot stress this enough. I want to commend the Muslim community. Who was Stevie Wonder? Stevie Wonder was about to unite with the benefit for the Israeli army. The Muslim community, they rose up and said, man, we're not going for it. He backed up off of it. Now, Shaka Khan still to the criminal stand because people were liberal about it. Well, maybe she doesn't know. They held him accountable. Then also we must address this class contradiction. Again, this class contradiction. When this artist, Nicki Minaj, they call her Nicki Minaj, who the government literally grabbed out of the Dominican Republic, they had a psychological profile on this girl. They knew she had her father. They knew she had a disdain for men. They grabbed these boys white women. They strategically have a psychological profile on them. When she said something about promoting Mitt Romney, when he's running for the presidential election, you've seen the petty bourgeoisie, the upper class Negro, raise up and say, how dare she disrespect President Obama? The class contradiction. Do not wait to hit the particular class, because they disrespect black folks on the bottom every day, everything they say. When you go to their concerts, you go to a Wu-Tang concert, all you see is white groupies, white women groupies. They treat black folks like garbage. And then they come on and they appeal to black folks when it's beneficial. They do it in an abstract type of way. This is what Jay-Z's lyrics. He brags about doing benefit concerts for white folks at Columbine. He brags about donating the money to the New York Police Department. The same New York Police Department that plunges up the records of black folks. We must hold these criminals accountable. If they don't know, they're going to learn today.
Well, with that said, I think it's important, family, that we now do the homework that we need to do. And I'm requesting for those who are listening that we get to know the name of the record company that put this stuff out. Because as we heard in this dialogue, somebody knew. Somebody saw those lyrics. Somebody knew what those lyrics were. And not just allow it to go through, but more than likely help to push it through. So we need to begin to get some names. We need to begin to know who are these people that are sitting back allowing the stuff to happen, promoting it, because it's not like they didn't know. So we need to know the record company. We need to know the distributors. We need to know what do we need to now do to stop it. And as I said earlier in this show, does anybody remember the word boycott? Because this is Black History Month. Well, needless to say, boycotts have been effective. It's not something that we do anymore. Why? Perhaps it's time we start again. So, again, we're going to say within the next couple of days, we hope that those of you who are listening will send us the name of the record company, the name of the producers, any name that has anything to do with this nonsense being distributed nationwide, worldwide. We want to know who they are. Because as Chairman Fred has just said, we need to hold folks accountable. We need to put their names out there. And needless to say, the least that has to happen now is an apology. And I dare say, until there is one, we need to make sure that the word goes out, do not buy Lil Wayne's music or whatever it's called, or anybody from that company, if it has to get to that. That's how important this situation is. I'm going to open up the phone lines if you have a question or a comment that you would like to bring forward for Sister Erica, Chairman Fred. We're going to ask you to do that at this time. We're talking, of course, about what we know is going on nationwide, worldwide, because as you travel throughout the world, what you begin to see is the imitation of some of these people that are being paraded out in front of us. Recently, in my last trip to Africa, I got a chance to look at a couple of the TV stations, and needless to say, there we go, with the blonde hair and the tight skin clothing and the heels that look like you get ready to tumble over. Why? Because they think that's what we want to see. That's what's going on here in the U.S. Well, it's not acceptable. And sisters, until you begin to stand up in a much more broader, much more direct kind of way, we're going to see our young girls imitating these people. We're going to open up the phone line. Caller, you're at 4460. You have a comment or a question for Sister Erica, Chairman Fred?
Peace. I just want to say peace, power, and progress to you all. And to the listening audience. I just want to say, to Sister Erica, you have my deepest condolences knowing that Emmett Till was your relative. I can imagine how your family, what they went through and still going through, you know, based on anniversaries, birthday, and et cetera, you know, to know what has happened, you know, to one of your family members. So my condolences go to you and your family. And I want to say to my president general and also salute to Brother Chairman Fred for continuously keeping this on the forefront, because this is quite strange that, you know, we do have people that have been on the forefront addressing this issue about the misogynistic, the degrading of our race and culture on the video, and it is just strange that, you know, now that we have a Newtown shooting, Sandy Hook, and all these other things, people are addressing gun violence. And what brought interest to me is that the NRA person, you know, and we don't need to get rid of the Second Amendment, because we definitely know that with this governmental and police terrorism that's going on, they shouldn't be the only ones having guns. And it's just clear as day what happened with our martyr, Dahmer. But they never actually addressed the issue about the misogynistic, the violence in the music and also in the movies that, you know, the NRA person brought to their attention. They totally overlooked that, and the primary focus is to take away the right to bear arms and the right to defend ourselves. By all means, that's a constitutional right and our divine right. So it's just strange that they're going to continue allowing these videos, these movies and music, and nobody's addressing it, you know, not on that forefront, you know, with those people who are trying to take away our right to bear arms. So I just want to say to you all that hopefully with all this stuff that's going on, you know, that they're going to have to address it sooner or later, you know, and to continue the struggle, because I was one of the persons who went out when R. Kelly was in Newark for the Black Women Defense League on behalf of the Million Women Movement. And hopefully we just could just, you know, sound the drums and get the message out while everything is still fresh and new with this new town and all this other stuff, Obama shedding tears and, you know, he's been murdering people over in the Middle East and in Mafia and Africa and everything. You know, I mean, it's our time to really step up to the plate to make sure they address this issue. So I want to say I commend you all and salute to you all.
Salute right back at you. Right on for the call, sister. Right on.
Thank you. Thank you, sister. You know, again, we knew that the situation was going to increase. For those who listen to our show, you know, we oftentimes talk about the various cases that we get or situations that we get as it pertains to our women and girls. And roughly 3 years ago, when there was 11 women found in a house in Cleveland, Ohio, the women were murdered, mutilated, raped, choked. But yet, on a national level, the average person didn't hear anything about it. The people in that particular city knew about it, and we're talking about Cleveland, Ohio, but yet all over the country, most of our people knew nothing about 11 Black women who had been murdered. If it had been some other women, you would have certainly, you'd still be hearing about it today. So we knew then that the level of not just awareness, but response to what was happening with our sisters was in a decline. And certainly now we constantly see over and over again how we are degraded, how we are not given the type of, I won't even say protection or defense, but even just general recognition. And unfortunately, our younger sisters are buying into that. And so, again, we have to now step this thing up. As Sister Manira just said, as a family, we have got to begin to address these things head on. And so, again, we're calling out to you all. We want to hear what you think we should begin to do and what you are all prepared now to do. Because we can talk about this all day and night, and we have been talking about it for quite a while, but unfortunately, the situation has increased, and I dare say if we do not step this thing up and really let these people know that we are very serious about what we're talking about, they're going to continue to laugh at us and continue to exploit us all the way to the bank. So, again, we're going to open up the phone line if you have a comment or a question, or if you have a possible plan of action that you'd like to bring to our attention, we certainly welcome you to do so right about now. We're going to open the phone lines up again. In the meantime, Chairman Fred, I think that when we have our anniversary celebration in October, we need to do a special session on what's going on in the music industry or the so-called entertainment industry.
I think that would be excellent.
And what we can begin to do now to as a community to fight back. What do you think about that?
Excellent. Excellent. No doubt about it. we can stress the importance of, you know, propaganda, you know, and even Che Guevara of the Cuban Revolution has stated that the role of the propagandist can be as important as that of the guerrilla. And we're even looking historically how the U.S. government, how important they see propaganda. They knew how important it was, just as the Marines and the Army playing a role, as that of Bob Hope, the role he played with the propaganda, for, you know, for the troops and so on and so forth, the role of Marilyn Monroe for the U.S. troops. We cannot negate or devalue the role of these propaganda bombs. Again, these drones, the psychological drones that are dropped in our community. I mean, it takes amongst other things, it desensitizes us, and it justifies the attack on our people. Even you can look at cases with the Waco, Texas situation. The government admits that they, for quite some time, they bombarded the individuals in Waco, Texas with certain types of music. You know what I'm saying? Even inside the prisons, you know what I'm saying, when they would lock the prisons down, they would bombard the people, you know what I'm saying, with certain types of music, the mindset. Abu Ghraib Baghdad, the prisons in Iraq. They talk about the prisoners, they talk about not only the torture, but the psychological torture, the type of music they would play on them. But see, the deal with these examples I've given is that there's a declared war. It is recognized that this is, you know, so this is a psychological war, that this is propaganda to hit the mask. For us, we think it comes in the form of just music or just a song, or, you know, say, you can be in Italy, in Los Angeles, and you can call Chicago, Detroit, in any other city in the country at the same time, and I guarantee you, you can call, put the phone to the radio and see what music they're playing. Is it going to be Two Chainz, or we refer to a Slave Chainz, or a Little Slave, or a Slave Z, or Nicki Minaj? It's not because these individuals are talented, but they have our children chasing these American dreams. So I think that I want to say right on, because, I mean, again, that's necessary, because we have to be a section to address this section of the war that's waged on our people. So I definitely say we need to seize the time, and that definitely needs to be a necessary entity. And I think since, you know, so the Erica should be up there also, right on, to, you know, should really touch and see the time. Since there's a lot of discussion about this, I want to make sure I'm clear. This is not just the start of resistance, and this is my first time meeting since, and this is my first time addressing this issue. But let's use this example. This is an opportunity to knock, kick in the door, snatch the door with the hinges. And let's, you know, so talk about this whole history of these career criminals. This is not the first time. And I think Bobby was the person that these individuals are just young. This chump, Slave Chainz, who they call Two Chainz, this chump is 44 years old. 44 years old. And then you go back and look at these criminals. These chumps, they're children of nice colleges. They live in nice suites and places, Connecticut and different suburbs, so on and so forth. While they have our children out there chasing these garbage. You feel what I'm saying? They're not no young dummies. Slave Chainz has been to college. You name it. So it's also because it's a position that these criminals are taking. They don't just make dumb bucks. These bucks have taken a position. And we will say, man, you're gonna love it, but you're gonna respect it. We're gonna get our priorities straight, for our priorities get them straight. It's our priorities, our people.
I think it'll be an excellent idea to do a town hall meeting. This isn't the first dialogue I've engaged in on this type of platform since this incident with my family and Lil Wayne has occurred. And that's one of the most repetitive statements that I've heard, is that we need to open up a dialogue and have an open forum, you know, a town hall meeting of sorts, because we need to have an open dialogue about the lyrics and the open behavior of these artists who choose to just take the liberties and license in the name of free speech. And rather than be constructive, they're being destructive to both the decency and the legacy of the music. You know, our children idolize these artists in the industry, and they want to emulate everything about them, how they look, what they wear, how they dress, what they hear in the music. And in these lyrics are subliminal messages. Just this afternoon, I was turned on to a song called Swimming Pool. And, sister, I'm not one who listens to rap on a regular or that much, period. You know, I'm old school. I like old school stuff. So I don't really listen to it that often. But there
there's some rap music out there that I do love, but most of the rap that I'm into will be called old school rap, so to speak. But today I was turned on to a song by Kendrick Lamar. I think that's the right name, if I'm not mistaken, and it's called Swimming Pool. And I was at Operation Push this morning. That's where I was. And the Bishop Grant, who I've been working with, who Reverend Jackson assigned to work with my family, but we work together all the time anyway with the families who, you know, are victims in this war of police violence. And he played this song on his phone for me, and there's a whole segment in the song where they're just talking, like, yeah, man, you know, and the whole dialogue was about, we getting ready to get out, and we're going to go shoot these people, and if the woman get in the way, and, you know, and of course, I'm summarizing it in a clean way. It wasn't like this, of course. But they're going to get out, and they're going to go shoot, and they play the scene out where they jump out the car, and they go and shoot whoever they're trying to shoot, and they describe it and talking about it, and then they get back in the car, and then the music starts to play again. So it's like an intermission, and they're doing this whole, you know, dramatization about getting out the car, going to gun somebody down, whoever get in the way, they're going to get gunned down too, and then they're going to get back in the car and take off like they're victorious. You know, what kind of message is that sending to our children? And we got all this gun violence. A little girl got gunned down today, and not a little girl, but she was in high school. I think she was 19 in a suburb of Chicago here, in North Chicago. Gunned down today. Her sister just sat in the school in Hyde Park where President Obama was, you know. And Hadia, I was at Hadia Pendleton Services last week. That was just a week ago. And these are not the only two children. You know, they've blown up and they've really used Hadia. She like if it wasn't the only or the first child that was murdered like that in Mississippi, but it was the decision of his mother to have an open casket funeral for the world to see what was done to her son that sparked that emotional movement within Black America, igniting the civil rights movement. You know, many people think it was just Sister Rosa Parks, Mother Rosa Parks. Mother Rosa Parks was a good friend of our family. And she always said that she thought about if she was tired and she thought about Emmett Till when she refused to give up her seat. But it was really the beginnings of the civil rights movement started with that open casket funeral that Mamie decided to have. So I often refer to her as the godmother of the civil rights movement. And, you know, and so it's just important that, you know, we do something and we do have an open dialogue. I think that's number one. In order to even figure out the solutions or which way to go in, you know, which direction we're going to go, we have to have an open dialogue and have that open dialogue with, you know, the label, you know, the CEOs of the labels, with the musicians, with the veterans and the newborns, you know, and the community, along with our youth, you know. So I think it's important to do a town hall of sorts to engage the community into that dialogue with those who are distributing, who are creating, and who are developing these songs, and they're not really taking responsibility or ownership of the type of mess that they're letting come out here into our children, and our children are immersed in this junk.
Well, it certainly sounds like a plan to me, and as I indicated earlier, you know, we are definitely about direct action, and I certainly agree, Sister Erica. It is a start. I think it's an excellent start, and we need to get on it right away.
Right on.
And I'm not saying, now, and Chairman knows, I try to maintain a polite and humble position, you know, and represent my family that way. And I'm not suggesting, let me just toss my own subliminal message out there, since Lil Wayne had such a mouthful of disrespect before, and now he's all quiet and doesn't want to say anything or engage in a dialogue with me. You know, I'm just saying, me personally, anybody around me, I'm going to tell them don't buy the mess. You know, do I support someone who's so disrespectful? But I'm not trying to launch a boycott against him, so to speak. You know.
And Sister, I certainly appreciate that position. And as we all know, you know, when we deal with struggle, we all have our places or we have our posts that we have to take. And, you know, again, I appreciate even the position that you have taken. And I think it's really apropos that some of us take the positions that we need to take. With that said, we need to move forward, you know, in a way where something can get done. This has to stop. And while I understand, you know, what it is that you must do and the way that you must do it, you know, as in any war, and I do say this is a war, as in any war, you have your Army, your Marine, your infantry, your Navy, or whatever you care to call it, meaning that we all have different roles that we have to play, and some, you know, have perhaps a bit more aggressive role.
Exactly.
And I have no problems in saying that's where I'm coming from with it.
And I have no problems in saying I totally understand.
All right, Jennifer, we sound like we got our marching orders.
Jennifer?
Okay, I'm
Hello.
Not sure you're there somewhere.
Did we lose him?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, my sister, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to share with us, you know, your thoughts, your feelings, and representing your family as gracefully as you have. And we're going to continue this dialogue. We're going to close it out for tonight because we might be having some technical difficulties. I'm looking at my board, and I'm seeing Jim and Fred on there, but I'm not able to tap into him. But what we're going to do is during the course of the week, we're going to follow up and perhaps bring part two next week. Do you think you could be available for that?
Yes, if I know in advance, I'll make myself available. I will say this. If you want to keep up with updates, you can follow me on my foundation Facebook page, the
okay.
Maimie Till Mobley Memorial Foundation, and that's Maimie Till Mobley, Mobley, Memorial Foundation on Facebook. I regularly update, and I do try to respond to as many people as I can who send me messages and such. But you can keep up with me that way. And then I would love to have you at some point offline, get my email address, and then we can correspond that way as well.
That would be wonderful. And what we'll do is definitely stay in touch, and I'll certainly keep you abreast of what's going on with the Men and Women March reunion because, again, this is the time that we have designated as the official launching of our international movement. And, again, I certainly extend an invitation to you. But we're going to continue this dialogue during the course of the week, and again, we're going to demand that an apology is brought forward expeditiously. And with that said, be prepared to do whatever we must do to make certain that that happens.
All right. Well, please keep me informed as to how I may be of any assistance. And definitely, if I can get that date in October secured immediately, then I'll be there.
All right, my sister. Well, you will be getting that later on this week, without a doubt. And Chairman Fred, I think we might have lost you, but I might be having a little difficulty technologically speaking. But, again, we're going to do a follow-up for our next program on Saturday. And we thank all of you for tuning in for this week. And certainly if you have any comments or questions that you wish to share with us, please feel free to do so by emailing nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com or officialmwm@yahoo.com. We want to remind you again, tomorrow we'll be at the Shanghai City Cultural Center, Only in America. We'll be talking, of course, about the lynchings that have occurred in Delaware and then also in Georgia over the past few years, and we're going to be talking to a couple of sisters who have experienced police and governmental terrorism directly. Again, we want to thank our sister for joining us, Sister Erica and Chairman Fred, and we welcome you all to come back again with us next next Saturday, same time, same location, when we come to you live and in living color. Remember, this is Empress Chi. This is New Day, Resurrection and Liberation, one of the official internet radio broadcasts for the historic Million Woman March, and now it's Universal Movement. Sister Erica, thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you again very, very soon.
All right, now. Peace, my sister.
All right, family, we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. Remember, though, there can be no true Hotep, meaning peace, until there is definitely Ma'at, meaning justice. Until next time, we leave you with that thought for power, prosperity, and peace. Remember, for Moja Tutu Shenda, together we shall win. Aluta continua. The struggle does indeed continue. Tutanana.